Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is, it's a great word this morning. We are coming out of the Old Testament in the book of First Samuel, and I can tell you, you know, how would you feel if someone you respected, someone you loved, than you? Not chasing after you because he loves you, but chasing after you because he wants to kill you out of jealousy, out of envy, out of spite. That's what David is going through this morning. Saul is chasing after David. Why? Because he knows he's lost his anointing. And he doesn't care. He wants the power. He wants the power. King. Power. In charge. See people every day in our world. All they can think about is power. All they can think about what is in it for them. Not for the greater good, but for themselves, for them, their family, for what they want. And God will remove them. God has removed them. But there are folks that will fight to the end, believe they deserve. Whether they deserve it or not, they believe that they do. And we deal with that on a regular basis in our world. We must pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with hearts open and wide, Lord God, to receive your word, asking you, Lord, to be in charge, to guide us, to lead us, to show us way, God. Show us the truth. Show us the life that is Jesus Christ. As we look up for Jesus, God, we ask you to guide us and lead us to be kind to each other, to be loving to each other, to care more about our brothers and our sisters, care about ourselves. Lord God, I ask you to increase as I decrease in this word this morning, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I lift up this word in the name of Jesus. Thanking you, Lord God, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for putting the word in my heart. And I ask you, Lord God, to give us strength. As we go through this world, as we go through this day, we ask you, Lord God, to watch over our children as they go to school, preparing for the end of the school year. They will not be afraid to come back into the classrooms, Lord God. We're asking you, Lord God, for strength. We're asking you to watch over all those, Lord God, in law enforcement who must deal with gun violence and all the things going on in this world, Lord God. Mass shootings, weather changes, all kinds of things, Lord God. As what has even happened where I live, where a dust storm that has never been seen since biblical times was here, causing lives to be lost and property to be damaged. Lord God, we know you're trying to tell us something, to listen to your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. As I stated, I don't live that far from where the pileup happened on I-55. And I tell you, seeing the aftermath of the pileup was something to behold. Burnt out cars, burnt up trucks, damaged cars, damaged trucks, filling up to big, huge lots. State police everywhere. It was something to behold. The aftermath. And that was 2 days later after the situation happened on a Monday. I had to go in that direction on a Wednesday. And they were still getting cars towed off the lot on Friday. We've had crazy weather, storms, hail. Just had a hail storm in my area on Sunday. Hail storms. Tornadoes going everywhere. Storms. Snow in the middle of spring in the mountains who were in a drought but now are not. God is speaking to us. The question is, are we listening? And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of John, the Gospel of John, which is a new book for us this morning. So we will have what the Bible says when we get to our New Testament word this morning. And again, thank you for those listening in on the internet. I appreciate you, and I ask God to continue watching over and blessing you. And the word that God gave me for our title this morning is, in the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh among us. And as we go into our Old Testament word in 1 Samuel chapter 22 through chapter 23, David is still on the run from Saul. And Saul does a very wicked thing, I should say. He has a wicked servant do a wicked thing. In our psalm this morning, we're in the 59th psalm, verses 6 through 17, which is a psalm of David. Proverbs 16, verses 1 through 2, and 1 John, which is where our title is coming from this morning. So please get your Bible, because this is Bible study. As we go into the Word of God, and all I can say is, say it one more time, it is a word this morning. And it says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king, "Father and mother, come here with you till I know what God will do for me." And he again gave his situation to God, and we must give our situations to God, no matter what your situation is. Whatever it is, give it to God. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah." So David departed and went into the forest of Hereth. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered, now Saul was staying in Gibeah under a terebinth tree in Ramah, and with his spear in his hand. He got that spear all the time, trying to kill somebody. tried to kill David with the spear, tried to kill his son with the spear, walking around with his little spear, you know, just something else. And it said, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now you, Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands, captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me. And there is no one who reveals to me that has made a covenant with the son of Jesse. And there is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as it is this day. So he's paranoid too. Delusional, paranoid, and downright crazy. And again, someone who's just seeking power. Saul, it could care less about his people. All he can care about is himself. And it's, again, himself. That's it. And then you got this Edomite who is just violent and sneaky. I call him, he's the sneaky snake in this story. This Doeg, what he's doing is right. But because he is just one of those folks that is holding on to somebody who's powerful, thinking that it's going to rub off on him. He's evil. And he's a sneak. And David saw him when he was in the temple. And he knew he was a sneak in yesterday's lesson. And if we go back into yesterday's lesson, you know, when David was given the showbread, he looked and he saw this man. And he knew that something was going to come of it. He saw him and thought, oh, he's going to run back to Saul and tell him where I am. Just saw him. You know, just evil, slithering, just like the sneaky snake that he is. And saw him and thought, okay, let's see what happens from this. And he was appreciative of the food that he received. And this is what he said in verse number 7 of chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. He says, now, a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg. An Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen who belonged to Saul. And David said to Abimelech, is there not here on hand a spear or a sword? I have brought neither my sword nor my spear with me because the king's business required haste. Now, David wasn't quite telling the truth to this priest. You know, and that is a sad situation. And he told him, he said, you know, I'm on business. But the business David was on was running from Saul. And so he kind of honestly put these priests in a bad situation. But one thing about David, he always apologizes. So, but let's go back to our word for today. Verse number 9, 2 of 1 Samuel. Then answered Doeg, the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ittai. And he inquired the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Now understand, David is the one that killed Goliath. David is the one that chopped off Goliath's head with his sword. David is the one that honestly was deserving of the sword in the first place. So let's not get that twisted. And it says, so the king sent to call Ahimelech, the priest, the son of Ittai, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob, and they all came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, son of Ittai. He answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of God that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day? So Ahimelech answered the king and said, and who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the son, the king's son-in-law, who goes out at your bidding and is honorable in your house, that I then begin to inquire of God for him, far be it from me. Let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the house of my father. For your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much, and he did not. He is telling the truth. They didn't know because David didn't tell him he was running for Saul. David told him he was on Saul's business and that he had come in haste and forgot stuff. You know, see, but Saul don't want to believe the truth. He's one of those folks that will believe a lie until the day he dies, because in his mind, David is trying to take his throne. David is trying to kill him. David is trying to do all these awful things, but David is not. David loves Saul. David would have stood by Saul until Saul died. But Saul is the one that got came jealous. Saul is the one that wanted to take over. Saul is the one that lost his anointing because he was not obedient to Samuel. But yet he wants to project all his negativity on David. And this is what he says to Amalek. He said, and the king said, you shall surely die, Amalek, you and all your father's house. And the king said to the guards who stood about him, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servants of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priests of the Lord. They're like, God's not going to knock me out and kill me because I touched his anointing. Now understand, these are anointed men of God. And the word of God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And Saul is care less about the fact that these are holy men of God. These are a royal priesthood. These are the ones that God set aside for his. And then the king said to do is you turn and kill the priest, because the guards of the children of Israel weren't touching it. But this Edomite, this low-down, sneaky, dirty snake, he does not care. Again, after power, trying to please power, will accept a lie over the truth every time. And then the king said it, do as you turn and kill the priest. So do as Edomite turned and struck the priest and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also, Nob, the city of the priest, he struck with the edge of the sword, both men and women, children and nurses, infants, oxen, donkeys, sheep, with the edge of the sword. Do as once ballistic and crazy and killed all these people. What's all? Because the men of Israel would not do it. And I'm wondering, I always wonder why these people didn't fight back. Why they didn't fight back. But I'm sure that it wasn't just Doeg. It was him and probably some more of his mercenary friends. Some more of those folks trying to seek power. Some more of those folks wanting favor with the king. That they would do anything, including killing women and children. And then as we continue, it says, now one of the sons of Amalek, the son of Ittai, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me, you shall be safe. The 23, then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they are robbing the thrashing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack the Philistines? And I want to put a pin in there. Note, David did not go fight. He didn't do anything without inquiring of the Lord first. Shall I? These Philistines. And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abathar, the son of Amalek, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. Again, turn against him and deliver him to Saul. And we got to understand, don't get offended when folks you think you can trust do you wrong, because they are looking out for themselves. And the men and women of Keilah are looking out for themselves. So, yes, they will turn David in, even though he saved them, even though he took them and kept them from dying at the hands of the Philistines, brought back the livestock, kept them safe, they would turn against them. And we got to understand that everybody that calls you friend is not your friend. Everybody, people that you have helped, are sometimes the folks that will turn against you first. You got to get over it, shake it off, give it to God, and keep it moving. And so David and his men, about 600, so he's gotten 200 more men since he started. First he had 400, now he's got 600. Arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was so far that David had escaped from Keilah and he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Zephah. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zephah in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Zephonites came up at Gibeah, saying, is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods, in the hills of Elath? High Chilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon. And therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Again, treacherous folks, not understanding David is keeping you safe, but yet you're turned against him to Saul. Why? Because you can't. And it says, Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord. And the Lord said, saying, I'm not in this mess. God's looking at Saul like, I departed from you a long time ago. This is not me in any of your stuff, dude. I am not in it. You know, I'm in it, and you're not going to win it. You know, but Saul thought he was just all there, and he was hanging out. You know, I got this. You know, the Lord is with me because he done sent people to tell on David. Not understanding that all of them are doing stuff for themselves. Just like you. You know, like falling after like. And as we continue, then Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is and who sent him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me and serve me, and I will go with you, and it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Zephah before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon, then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul. For Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds and in Gedi. God was watching out for David. He sent the Philistines to take Saul away from pursuing David. God is in charge of everything. So we got to learn how to look up, look for Jesus. But we know that he is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And we got to look up. God is questioning it. Are we listening? Go to some life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley. And again, may God rest that wonderful man's soul. But we are coming out of the Charles Stanley Life Principles, Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And as we go through the life lessons for this word this morning, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, it says, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. While David had the anointing of God, he did not have a detailed map of his future. So he trusted God for what he could not do and acted wisely in regard to the things he could do. God never hides the fact that there may be a high price to pay for doing what is right. But he also promises to reward us for doing what is good, Ephesians 6 and 8, even if that reward comes in heaven. Don't get tired of well-doing, family. I know that there are folks that will talk about you, that will tear you down, call you foolish and everything because you're doing good to help others. You do what God tells you to do. And don't worry about who he said, she said, and who said, because they are not the ones that's going to stand before God. You are. They will stand for themselves just as you will stand for yourself. And the question is, when you stand before God, are you standing worried about what somebody else said? Are you standing before God doing what God said? 1 Samuel chapter 23:21. Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Everyone can use religious verbiage and try to appear deeply spiritual by the phrases he uses. But God is not impressed. And neither should we be, nor should we be fooled. Again, Saul goes, oh, and the Lord, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Saul did not care what God had to say to him. Saul was pursuing David on Saul's own behalf. But he sounded very pious. He sounded very religious. You have Christians today following after sneaky snakes, because they know how to say a word or two about God. But I'm saying, God is trying to give us discernment. God is trying to show you the way. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening to the voice of God? Are you listening to the fruit of and God's labor in the vineyard. And then are you seeing the seeking things trying to take it away? But yet we vote and we move against our own best interest. You know, your mama tells you, don't go down to Boo Boo Nim's house. They doing stuff that you shouldn't be involved in. And then when the house is shut up, you in it. And I'm just calling it like it is today. We are in a season of violence. But everything that's happening is things that have already been said would come. We are in the end times, and we better believe it. Look up, because Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to do some serious gardening. He's coming back to tear out the weeds. He's coming back to do some burning, cleaning of his house. We better understand God is pleased with the things that are going on in the world, especially this nation built on blood, sweat, and tears and enslavement that we have not asked forgiveness for, that we have not reconciled, that we have not. Lord, First Samuel chapter 23, verse 27. Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. During this time in Israel's history, the Philistines were the primary oppressors and enemies of God's people. But in his sovereignty, God used them to rescue his servant David. He can do the same for us. The Lord will move heaven and earth, if necessary, to show us his will. God is in charge of everything. And we need to understand that God is trying to tell us something. And we need to stop, take a minute, and listen. Listen for the voice of God. The 59th Psalm, verse 6-17. At evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. But they say, who cares? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, his strength. But God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down. O Lord, our shield, mouth, and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth, Selah. And at evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. Praise the Lord this morning. And as we go back into the life lesson, the 59th Psalm, verse 16, I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. Many of us don't have a good singing voice. Again, this sister is not the best singer in the early mornings. I am doing well to speak. Because when I wake up in the morning, I have dry throat, dry everything. And God is the one that speaks through me because this girl has trouble. But I know that if I had to sing for the Lord, I would sing with a mighty voice. It says, so why should singing play such a prominent role in spiritual growth? The act of singing tends to unite emotions and intellect. And God wants to commune with every part of us. Are you singing to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind. stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:1-2. The preparation of the heart belongs to me, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. Can you just say amen? But the Lord weighs the spirit. Praise God. God does not see out careless about what we're spewing, especially if it's not the truth. But God will be the judge of all things. That you can take to the bank. You will stand before God. I will stand before God, and I want him to say to me, as I go through the narrow gates, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. I don't follow the crowd now, and I definitely don't want to follow the crowd then. I don't want to go through the wide gate. I don't want to follow after everybody else. Party over here. I'm going through that narrow gate where I can be and see my mother. I can see my father. I can see my grandmother. I can see all those that have gone before me. Hallelujah. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to sit at his feet. Hallelujah. Drink from the cup in his hand. Ooh, hallelujah. Just say thank you, Jesus, for loving me as much as I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. I'm getting all filled up this morning because y'all know your hostess all weepy when she thinks about how good God is. How good God is. I can't help myself. I get emotional because I know where I could have been. And I know what God bought me from. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord this morning. Just say thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, that you woke me up this morning because somebody didn't wake up today. Thank God that he put breath in your body. Somebody may be on oxygen today. Thank God you can walk because somebody may be bedridden today. Thank God that you can talk because somebody may not be able to speak. Thank God you can see because somebody may be blind. We got to thank God even for the little things. Hallelujah. Find in your purse because it's a penny from heaven. God reminding you that he will provide, that he will give you provision. Hallelujah. Thank God today. And as we go into another book, some of the things that we will learn to know your Bible. The author, not stated but traditionally attributed to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, brother of James and son of Zebedee. The date of this word that was approximately written in A.D. 90, as the last gospel written. The 10 words or less, Jesus is God himself, the only Savior of the world. I got to read that again. Jesus is God himself, the only Savior of the world. 10 words or less of the overview of John. And as we get some details, please. While the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many similarities, they're called the Synoptic Gospels, meaning they take a common view. The book of John stands alone. The fourth gospel downplays Jesus' parables. None are recorded, and miracles, only 7, are featured. Instead, John provides more intensive treatments of Jesus' reasons for coming to earth. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. His intimate relationship with God, the Father, I and my Father are one, John 10:30. And his own feelings toward the job he has come to do. Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. John 17:1-2. John also gives special emphasis to Jesus' patient treatment of the disciples. Thomas, who doubted the resurrection, chapter 20:24-29. And Peter, who had denied the Lord, John 21, quotables from John. In the beginning, and this is where our title is also coming from. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, that is that scripture you teach every child. So if they can quote any other scripture in the Word, they can quote that one. Hallelujah. So I thank God for children's ministry because my kids know this Word. And it says, I am the bread of life. Who? John 6:35. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep, John 10:11. And I just say this, whenever you get opportunity and you just need that word from God, go to John 10. John 10 will take you there. It will take you where you need to go. I'm just tell you now, get you some tissue because it's going to hit your spirit. It's going to hit your soul. And when we get to John 10, man, you're going to have a weepy oath because it touches my heart. So whenever you get a chance, go to John 10 and just read the whole chapter. And it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. That is a scripture that is should be your memory verse. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Unique and unusual, John. Jesus' very first miracle, his changing of water into wine at the wedding in Cana, is recorded only in John's gospel. So is his rising of Lazarus from the dead, his healing of a man born blind, and his long-distance healing of a nobleman's son. John is also the only gospel to mention Nicodemus, who heard Jesus teaching that ye must be born again. So what about John? These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Son of God, and that believing ye may have life through his name. John 20:31. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of his Father. He has declared him. Hallelujah. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word who became flesh. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And as Dr. Stanley tells us right at the beginning of his gospel, John tells us that Jesus was far more than just a great teacher or a mighty prophet. In fact, he was God. Jesus is the express image of God's person. Hebrews 1 and 3. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Whatever Jesus did, he did with grace. Whatever he said in truth. He was not gracious some of the time and less gracious other times, any more than he varied in the amount of truth he spoke. Jesus always spoke the truth, and he said that truth is what sets us free. We got to know who we belong to. You are children of God. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you are adopted into the family of the Father. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for allowing me to be in your family. We got to understand who we belong to. And Dr. Stanley gave us this life example. He said 400 years of silence, it had been so long since God had spoken to one of his prophets. The people of Israel wondered if he would ever speak again, or if he had forgotten the covenant he established with their forefathers, Abraham and David. Who has happened with any pregnant pause or prolonged time of quiet? Their eyes, their ears strained in anticipation. They were hungry for a word, so God sent the Word. But this time the Word came as it had never come before. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word that had been with God in the creation of the world and all the life in it now came to the world to offer a new covenant and a new life. During the 400 years of silence, God had readied the world for the Word to travel through it under the influence of Alexander the Great. Greek, the language of science, medicine, and philosophy, made communicating the Word much easier than it had ever been. Also because of the roads and general peace, Pax Romana, of the Roman Empire, missionaries could travel everywhere with less difficulty. Finally, there were many times more Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire than there was in Israel proper, giving evangelists, synagogues, and Jewish communities from which to preach the good news throughout the known world. It was in the global climate that God sent the Word. And I'm saying this now because God just put it in my heart. God is sending out the Word now through the internet, through Facebook, through Twitter, through YouTube. God is sending the Word out through Instagram. The question is, are you listening? He's trying to get us ready for the return. Will you be ready when Jesus comes? And it says, what was his message? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And we know it's Yeshua. And we know that was the name that he used in that time. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Through the Word, all the families of the world were blessed. in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Through the word, the throne of David was established forever, merely in the earthly kingdom, but one that will reign forever. The word God saved us. Friend, have you been waiting for a word from God? Have you been straining your ears because of the silence? Look to the word. Look to Jesus. Just as the time of silence was for preparation for Jesus coming, God is ready his message to you in a manner that you cannot imagine. God is with you. He will save you from your sins. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are a child of God. What he is providing for you will not be accomplished through flesh, nor the will of man, but by the power of God. He always keeps his promises. Remember that God will move heaven and earth to show you his will. If he's silent now, it's because he wants you to realize that his next message is extremely important. Keep listening. You don't want to miss it. And that is our word this morning. I thank God for all of you for listening in. I get emotional in John 10. I just know that God has got some things going on, and he's just trying to get us prepared. The question is, are we listening, and will we be ready? Again, if there's anybody that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And for those that do not know, our call-in number is 213-943-3597. If you would prefer to use your phone to call in and listen in on your phone, again, 213-943-3597 is our number, and we are here daily. Except on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, is my day of rest. So I am here at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, Sunday through Friday. Brother Valerie also comes in and works with us because she loves the Lord and she loves the Word of God. So I thank God for Mother Valerie as well. And this is from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. This is her birthday week. Please keep her in your prayers as she gets ready to travel again. And pray that God gives her rest also. She is going to Hawaii. And I just say, may the Lord watch over her and keep her safe as she flies across the ocean. And that God gives she and her classmates great fun, as they have a good time in a paradise. And it says, good morning from Sister Carolyn. God never said that everything would be fair, come on now, or easy. But he did promise that it will work out for your good. Stand in faith. Have a Word of God Wednesday. And I'm getting all teary-eyed because Sister Carolyn had no idea what God was giving me this morning. I didn't know what God was giving me this morning, but when he said, in the beginning was the Word became flesh and dwelt with us. And then Sister Carolyn comes in and says, he did promise. What did she say? Good morning. God never said that everything would be fair or easy. David went through that. But he did promise that it will work out for your good. David became king. Stand in faith. David listened to the voice of God and stood in faith. John wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John through 3 John, and Revelations. He had some powerful words to say because he stood in faith. And he let us know that the Word became flesh. And Sister Carolyn says, have a Word of God Wednesday. The Word is Jesus. Have a Jesus Day, family. And know that you are blessed and covered by his blood in your coming in and your going out. I thank God for all of you this morning. And I ask God to watch over you and bless you and cover you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. But you are children of God. And he loves you more than you could ever imagine. Make sure you're looking up. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the north. Don't look to the west. Don't look to the east. Don't look to the south. Look up. What did Jesus tell us? If they say I'm over there, don't go. Don't go. Don't follow after anything. Listen for the voice of God. Again, if there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak this morning, now is the time. We have no callers that want to speak today, but I thank you for coming in and listening to the word this morning. For the word has been made flesh, and his name is Jesus. And he is my friend, and he is my Savior. He is my everything. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Hallelujah. And when we talk about no man seeing the face of God, you want to say, well, then who was with Moses? Who was Moses talking to? Who was Moses seeing? He was seeing Jesus. Who was in that fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys? It was Jesus. Hallelujah. Who has always been there? It's always been Jesus. And we know that he is with us right now. Have a great day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as Sister Carolyn said, have a word on Wednesday. And I want to make sure, let me go back and get it exactly right. Have a word of God Wednesday. There we go. Have a word of God Wednesday, family. And it is a wrap because I got to go to work. And I thank God for your prayers. And I thank God for each of you. Have a great and wonderful blessed day, family. Know that God's got you and that he is with you no matter what you're going through. Give it to God and watch him work. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. It's a wrap. Go to work.